right, everyone. Hello. And I'm here with Enmi Van Schrij from Elst, the Netherlands, all the way over there. You see me being a little uncertain how to pronounce it because I'm just learning. But she is a dreamer and a sign language interpreter who specializes in the deaf and blind interpretation. And I just wanted to have you on to tell your story about dreams because I think it's really unique.
Well, thank you. It's
Yeah.
nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. And yeah, so I guess I just wanted to start by asking you, how did you first get interested in dreams?
Well, even when I was small, I was already dreaming a lot, but I never really wrote them down when I was a kid. I just had very vivid dreams, and then you tend to forget them. So I don't recall all of these dreams, but I very often had very vivid dreams. And then when I was about 17 years old, I got into contact with the work of an author named Jane Roberts. And she wrote a lot of books and that have to do with spirituality also. And she had a whole series of books that she called the Seth material or Seth books. And she was a medium also. And in those books, I read a lot about dreaming also, because that topic was also discussed in these books. And I started to recognize things that they wrote about and that they spoke about. And I started to pay more attention to my dreams and writing them all down. And this really got me into this whole adventure that is, this whole world that opens up when you open up to that part of life. Since we dream such a big, dreaming is such a big part of our lives, I think, because, we dream every night. And I learned a lot from experiencing them and looking at them. So that's how it all got started. And I explored also some other books on this on the subject. For instance, I don't know if you are familiar with Patricia Garfield. She's also an author on dreams, and I also had lots of lucid dreams, so dreams in which you are aware you are dreaming, and yeah, the whole and also normal dreams. So, but I was always very fascinated by them, and since I started writing them down, I explored a lot of different aspects of dreaming, I think. And I started to notice patterns in my dreams because I was writing them down every day, for instance. And yeah, so that's how I got started with it.
Yeah, and so when did you have a particular dream or dream experience that really convinced you that there might be something more to it, or?
Yeah, for sure. Especially the last few years have been very much influenced by my dreams, because I very often had dreams in which I would peek through the eyes of other people, and so I would explore situations through the eyes of people that I was not familiar with during the waking state. And I was at first never certain if there were actually existing individuals or individuals that had existed before, and but they were always very intense and very vivid and lively. I think I really got to look, through the eyes of other people. And one night I decided to explore, to experiment a little bit with it. And I said to myself, what if the theories that I've been reading about are actually true, and our consciousness can be present in more spaces in time and more places simultaneously? I would really like to know where my consciousness is when I'm not focused on my Emmy self. And I playfully suggested this to myself as I went to sleep. And that night I had a series of dreams. And in all of these dreams, I was musicians. And I would look through their eyes. I was very aware of dreaming in most of these dreams. And it was just as if I was falling into a situation where I would peek through the eyes of a person. And one of these dreams in particular were very, very vivid details where I was a man who played the organ in a synagogue. And it's interesting because when I have these dreams, I am simultaneously aware of my own thoughts as well as the thoughts of the person I'm peeking along with. And I'm totally in the moment at that moment and very curious what will unfold. And as that man, as I was peeking along with him and playing the organ, I thought, wow, I can really play this instrument well. And I was, very fascinated by the reality of it. And then I was observing through his eyes, and then there was a little time jump. And I experienced being the same man still, but then in a hospital bed, having tremendous pain in my bowels. And I woke up with the name Oscar Baum in my head. And I thought, well, that was a very, very vivid dream. And a month later, I had more dreams about this same man. And in most of these dreams, I was blind. I couldn't see anything apart from slight differences in light. And they were so very powerful and vivid. And in these dreams, I saw snippets out of this man's life. And later on, I found out that this man actually had existed and that all the details that I dreamt about overlapped the actual experiences of this man. And that really turned, my mind around, that I thought, wow, this is, especially because I had asked a question before going to sleep that night, where is my consciousness when I'm not Emmy? And these kind of very vivid experiences showed me that there's so much more to who we think we are, or what. I don't know if I'm clear at all, because English is not my first language, so
Oh no,
maybe.
I understand totally. And I guess I'm curious, like, how you made that transition from, okay, you woke up and you had the name Oscar Baum in your head, and then you kept having these dreams. Like, at what point were you like, okay, I need to look this up?
Well, I think it was after the third dream I had about him, where I experienced him dying. And it was such a very intense, real experience that I thought this must be real. I mean, this was so mind-boggling to me because I could really, really feel the sensations that he felt in his body. And the whole experience of being blind was so very real that I thought, and also because there seemed to be a consistency in the dreams as they followed one after the other. It was like this was this whole life story. And that's when I decided to look up Oscar Baum pianist, because that was the only details, or well, the only clear details that I had. And I was very shocked that when I typed that in, that there was this website, I think a very small Wikipedia entry about a man named Oscar Baum. And he was an organist in the synagogue. And he died in exactly the same way as I dreamt about. And later on, because I'd written down all my dreams for all those years, I found out that even before the dreams that I had that year in 2011, I already had dreams about this man. And it was even in 2008. And it were all very short snippets, but all very, very intense. dreams, and sometimes I couldn't even, how would you say that? I wouldn't even know. I had no clue that they were actually connecting to, and not all of the dreams are connecting to actually living individuals. So there seem to be different kind of dreams, I believe. I don't know if it's clear at all.
Yeah, no,
Bit
definitely. And
nervous to
so,
talk about it, but yeah.
yeah. I mean, how did you feel when you discovered that? Like, where did you go from there?
Well, I went to Prague with my husband because that was where Oscar Baum used to live when he was alive. He was a writer who lived from 1883 till 1941, and he spent most of his life in Prague. And I had plans to go to Prague already for years with my husband to visit the city. I didn't have any clue that I would have all these dreams about this man from Prague. But we went there together, and
What were you
with the
looking for?
with the little info I had, I thought, would all the details of my dreams about this man overlap this man's life, or is it just coincidence, so to speak? Because I was a little, I was skeptic at first. I thought, well, maybe, I see too much into it. And so I went to the Jewish Museum in Prague because I thought, well, maybe if there's still something of him left, then most likely it will be stored in that museum, because he was a good friend of Franz Kafka. And so I went there, and I made an appointment with a very kind woman who worked there. Monika Hankova is her name. And she told me, well, you're from Holland. How did you hear about Oscar Baum? Because he's not that well known, and you come totally from the Netherlands. Are you a student of literature, or what is your profession? And I said, well, no. And I decided to be honest with her and to tell her that I had dreams about a man that were so very vivid, and that seems to be linked to this Oscar Baum individual. And I wanted to see, in how far my dreams overlapped the life of the actual life of this man. And she was very surprised that she asked me, of course, what had I dreamt. So I explained to her the dreams that I had, and she was very enthused because, we discovered in the archive that all of the details that I had in these dreams, very, very specific details about names of individuals and events, were all overlapping with documents that were there in the archive. And because I work as a sign language interpreter specialized in interpreting for the deaf blind, I had learned Braille and how to read Braille. And they had many documents of Oscar Baum that they themselves couldn't read because they didn't know how to read Braille. So this lady asked me, I told her, well, I can read Braille, so I would be very interested in seeing those documents in Braille, because I was very curious, what did this man write about, and so on. And then they asked me if I could translate the materials that were there in the museum. So from, a couple of dreams, a lot of work. They didn't pay me anything or so, but a lot of interesting exploration came forth. And
Well, what did you make of it at that point when you found that your dreams were so accurate and even that you seemed to be placed perfectly to continue to find
yeah.
information about him?
Oh, I was very touched also to be in Prague, because I really had a sense of reconnecting with a part of myself that I'd completely forgotten about. And also, it was a very healing experience to see that all these documents that would most likely be lost because of time and because of the war were actually still there. And I was very touched also to see that the experiences that I had were not only accurate but also very practical, because to me it's very important that I can do something practical with whatever I experience. It's a bit difficult to explain, but yeah, that's very important to me. And
Why? What do you mean?
well, because sometimes I recall that when I went to bed that one night, when I asked, if consciousness is in more places and time simultaneously, I would like to know where my consciousness is when I'm not Emmy. I wanted to not be completely overwhelmed by the answers I would get, and also that it would benefit the world in some way to get this knowledge about myself. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit difficult to explain,
Yeah,
but
no, I understand.
yeah, and not just information for the sake of hoarding information, or I really would like to do something practical with it. And I think what for me was very important about these experiences is that, I always liked the theories that I read about, but to have actually experiences myself where I could explore these kind of worldviews, was very, very beneficial for me, and very, it really helped to develop more self-esteem and to be more strong in trusting myself and my visions, for instance, that I had. Yeah, it was a very vital, part of it. Yeah.
So in this process of taking what you experienced seriously and finding that it was verifiable in a very precise way, like how has that influenced you in general? Or has it changed your perspective in other ways?
Yeah, for me, I always found it very scary to talk about these experiences with other people, because I always thought, well, they must think I'm crazy. I had a very I always had this fear of when you explore these out of the box topics like the workings of consciousness or dreaming or having the feeling that death is not the end, for instance, but that something continues. I think that by allowing these experiences in my life instead of repressing them as I used to do when I was younger, because I thought, well, this is unexplainable and unacceptable. I couldn't bridge these two worlds, these very vivid experiences that I was having and the very down to earth daily reality, when growing up. And when I started to take my dreams more seriously, and when I started to allow more of these experiences into my life, I also saw that there was nothing to be afraid of, and that everything in life is very much balanced. For instance, I do believe now, after all these dreams that I had, that our consciousness does not end when this life ends, for instance, and that even during our lives, perhaps our awareness is in different places, and that all of these things seem to be so imbalanced balance. And I can give an example of it. Maybe it makes it a bit clearer because it's a bit difficult for me to. But it's, for instance, Oscar Baum had been blind his whole life. Not his whole life. He turned blind when he was 12, but a big part of his life he was blind. So he had to rely on the help of others. And even though, even if I wasn't aware of him as a person, for instance, I work as a sign language interpreter, specialized in working for the deafblind. And in my life now, I practically do exactly what his friends always did for him. And not because I felt guilty or that I, you know, really this spontaneous impulse to learn sign language. And I had the impulse to, you know, to work with the deafblind. And when I became aware of these Oscar Baum-related dreams, I thought, well, what if a part of my consciousness explores life as Oscar Baum and explores how it is to be a blind person and how he most likely developed trust in the world around him and in his friends and in himself through this experience of being blind. I thought how wonderful it is that in a different time, in a different reality, this same consciousness might be exploring the other side of the medallion, you know, how it is to help people who are blind. You know, and even if I hadn't been aware that maybe somewhere, you know, my consciousness also experiences his experiences, I would have still have done the same work that I'm doing now. And would in that way unconsciously have had these experiences, for instance. But I really think that all these different experiences of our consciousness are linked together and that are somehow influencing one another. You know, I don't know if it's at all clear.
Yeah, no, I do understand what you're saying. I think I understand. I mean, I feel like what you're saying is part of what you took from it. Is just an understanding that there is multiple consciousness going on all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, there's not the linear sense of time.
Exactly. That's what at least my dreams seem to point out. And I try to explain it to a very special lady that I had the privilege to meet. She was called Alice Het Sommer. I don't know if you're aware of her. She was a pianist who had survived Theresienstadt because she played the piano so well. And she turned very old. She died when she was 110. And I met her when she was 108 in London in her apartment. Wow. And I met her because of my Oscar Baum project, because I had decided that I wanted to write a biography on the life of this man, and also a novel about my own experiences in the dream state with this guy. And I decided, because she knew him, she had actually met him several times, and their families were good friends, I decided to visit her, or to see if it was possible to meet her, to get her, you know, maybe to get some more information on them all and about the time period where they lived in. And of course, she asked me, you know, how do you come to this topic to write about Oscar Baum? And then I tried to explain to her, you know, I was very hesitant at first because I thought, why would I want to bother a woman of this age who might have a completely different worldview? Maybe it was disturbing to her, you know, if I spoke about these matters. But we spoke about it, and you know, we spoke about my perspective and her perspective, and I tried to explain to her how these things might work by using the analogy of a piano, because she was a pianist also, that made sense to me to explain it to her in that way. And on a piano, you have a D string, for instance, or an A string, one note on several places on the piano. And I said, well, what if our consciousness is like this huge piano with all these different strings that, you know, you have a D string on the beginning of the keyboard, but also somewhere in the middle and someone further away. And that in reality, that all these strings are connected to the same piano. And that if you press a D string that is very nicely tuned, all the other D strings will vibrate as well. And I said, what if Oscar Baum's consciousness and my consciousness is like this D string on the piano? And that, you know, somehow in my dreams, I became aware of this other string that has exactly the same tone, or the, you know, that are linked somehow together. And, you know, this was my way of trying to, you know, explain my view on simultaneous time. Like, from the perspective of this one string, things seem to be in the past or in the future. But overall, you know, you can play the whole piano and jump from one place on the piano to the other without, you know, losing focus even of the whole thing. So I don't know if it's clear now, but it was my attempt to, you know, make it a little bit graspable also for myself.
Right.
Because it's you know, it's complicated stuff. And there have been moments where I was very, you know, confused on, you know, am I taking this too far, or should I be working with these things or not, or why am I not normal like everybody else, you know? I struggled with that at times.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be doubt that comes in. I guess I'm curious how that understanding, though, like when you do feel like you really have your trust in it, how does it influence the way you act? Or, like, do you find it or see it changing you in any way?
Yeah, well, when I embrace it, mm-hmm. when I find that I can tap into the benefits of being aware of these matters, you know, I can feel more safe within myself. I can draw from this big bank of experiences in a way that help me understand others better. Or, for instance, in my work as a sign language interpreter for the deaf blind, I didn't make certain mistakes that I might have made if I never had peeked through the eyes of a blind person myself. So do you know what I mean? You know, and also this sensation of, nothing is ever lost what we do, you know, somehow it all is preserved in a way, and we can draw on it later, or, you know, I don't know if I'm at all clear here.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I think that is a powerful teaching from it, that the end, what seems like the end isn't really the end.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's also funny in a way, because sometimes I feel that Oscar Baum thought, you know, when I would see, then things would be less complicated, and I would trust myself more, or I would, you know, things would be much easier, which of course in very practical ways they are. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, maybe he was afraid that he had a blind spot because he couldn't see certain things for himself, and he always had to rely on information of other people. And I myself experienced that when you can see, you still have these doubts about blind spots of yourself. It's not that it disappears with being able to see.
Right.
You know, it's a fun thing. And
But I mean, I think in a lot of ways your story is about exactly that, you know, wrestling with that and becoming, you know, where you are right now, which is, you know, someone with a really strong story that would make people doubt themselves and what they think.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious if you could share a little more about the Oscar Baum project. like what that is now and
Yeah, of
working on.
course. Yeah, you know, it started out with me writing down my dreams and trying to figure out later on, you know, what is real, you know, what is reality in these dreams and what is not. And then because I was collecting so much info about his life, I thought, oh, this is a very interesting life and well worth to be shared with other people. Because I also the museum asked me to transcribe his work that was there in Braille, and we discovered as I was doing that novels that he was working on and that were not published because it was wartime. The Second World War was there, and he was Jewish, so he couldn't publish at all. And lectures that he had given. And there were so much details about Prague during that time in these letters and in these concepts of novels that he was working on that were so vital to the history of Prague and to the history of that little group of writers that were very active there at that time around Franz Kafka and Max Brod, for instance, who was also very famous at that time and who helped preserving Franz Kafka's work, that I thought, oh, this deserves to be republished, for instance. You know, very interesting novels that, because history seems to repeat itself very often, would be very apt right now for people to, you know, to consume, so to say, to reflect on what the world is seem to be becoming sometimes again. And so I'm now in the process of you know, typing up all these documents that I've transcribed for the museum archive, as well as I'm working on a biography together with a woman named Dr. Sabine Dominik, who is who had written a thesis all those years ago in the 70s about Oscar Baum and about his work. And we are together working on a biography about his life, so combining the knowledge that we have gathered over the years. And I'm also writing a novel where I try to depict my experiences in a fictional form and to fully flesh out these ideas that I have about reality in a very creative and artistic way. And I've made an audiobook from one of Oscar Baum's novels that are just lost because it's out of print. And that was a novel that he wrote about his time. Oh, it was a fiction story, but it was based upon his own life. I now made it available to blind people again by, and also other people who are interested in listening to books. So that was a fun project that came out of it. And in October this year, I will give a lecture together with Dr. Sabine Dominik in Amsterdam at the Goethe Institute about our project and about the transcriptions that we did for the Jewish Museum. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's amazing how much, you know, if anybody would have said to me, you know, Emmy, there will be a time where you will read a lot of German books and you will be completely comfortable with speaking German, because I wasn't as a child at all, and I wouldn't even read much as a child, and that all changed just because of writing down my dreams like this. And you know, I hope that these ideas of you know, that our usual perspective, our usual way of looking at life is not all there is, can benefit people, you know, if it becomes more mainstream where people share these kind of experiences. Because whenever I would speak to people about this, I would notice that many people have, even though not the same experiences, also experiences that seem to point out, hey, there is something going on with outside of our usual, physical daily life. And I hope that by sharing these experiences, people might recognize things or might be comforted also that, things are a little bit more complicated than living life from A to Z, for instance. There's more to it than we might see at first sight.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for speaking today. It was great. It was really nice to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, I